Why are you counting down, John? Like, I'm over here just yelling, like,
no, because the countdown was over, the numbers were over your screen. Yeah,
yeah, it was on the middle over John.
No, I'm not in the middle. You're in the middle, Todd.
No, oh, shit.
It's Todd. It's
stuck
Todd
in the middle. With Joker's to the left, me.
Clown to the right. You're right.
I was going for a Malcolm in the Middle joke, but I couldn't think of one fast enough. Little did I know I should have just sang the theme song.
Wait, Riddler's to the left of me. Wait, hold on. I got speaking of Riddler, did you guys see the new Batman?
No. I did not.
It's actually it's pretty good. All
right. I feel like I have to see it because for years they've been making Joker movie after Joker movie, and every single time one comes out, I say the same thing, which is the Joker's not even a very good villain. Batman has the Riddler. Why don't they make a Riddler movie? And now they made it. And I saw the Riddler and they completely de-yassified him, which is horrible.
Exactly. He was not campy at all. Because when I picture the Riddler, I'm thinking like guy in a head to toe green suit covered in question marks. But the Riddler looks like, and wait for it.
The Riddler just looks
like. You got the mask. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. I got this mask off Etsy for $12. It's the Riddler mask. Because
he wears the glasses over it like that.
He wears the glasses.
He does wear
glasses.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Although honestly, clear glasses, so you know he's a millennial.
As a glasses guy, I would do that too.
Right. Yeah. I feel like
you
got
to see. It's like MF Doom. We wear the glasses over the Doom mask.
Yeah.
I feel like that Riddler is Ted pilled. Like
absolutely. he's like an epic Ted pilled Marvin Heemeyer
with
a little bit of incel sprinkled in, because at the end they basically do January 6th where they like AOC gets sniped. Fuck, that's a spoiler. Batman universe stand-in for AOC gets hit by a sniper bullet, and it looks like she died, but then the next scene, she's like got her arm in a sling, and she's fine. It's like, whatever.
It's pretty cool that she played herself in the movie.
Yeah.
Look, Congress only pays so much. If you want those checks to keep on rolling, you gotta take a roll.
See, the thing is, when January 6th
happened...
Nancy
Pelosi won't teach you how to day trade.
when January 6th happened, AOC wasn't actually in Congress. She was on set at Batman.
Right, and she got scared because she thought the Riddler was real.
And then 9/11 happened, and they had to take a moment of silence on set. Yeah. Just like Master of Disguise.
Just like Master of Disguise.
I heard that in this movie, at some point, the investigators are like, the Riddler has over 500 online followers.
Yeah.
That it's supposed to sound like a lot. Is that what happens?
He got up to 5,000, then Twitter banned him because he was like a Groiper account. And then he started again with 500. He's like, help me find my friends.
Help
like,
me find
spelled F-R-E-N-S.
Like I'm a fearless truth teller. And
yeah, I'm just a Ted Kaczynski pilled guy in a mask. It's not the same dude.
So John, Chris, you guys watched this video of this guy running from the cops. Yes. Bryn, did you watch the video?
I saw
video
a little bit of it.
You saw a little bit of it. All right. Do we want to watch it?
Yeah, let's watch it. It's so good.
Hell yeah. Check it out.
Hell yeah. All right, I'll count us in.
Law enforcement, and this is one of those things, you know, law enforcement, they have to keep these people safe, and then you can see it right there, the suspect trying to get into somebody's property or still trying to hide, but doing a very,
his property.
Very
he's invisible now, all right.
LAPD
how could they
stop.
Possibly see that, man?
Come on, guys, he's right.
He's playing IRL GTA. I love how the newscaster is yelling at the screen like a dad watching football.
Yeah, he's right there.
Come on, tell them. Come on, the end zone's wide open.
That's armchair LAPD.
And again, you just saw that. Oh my goodness, I just feel so bad for those officers.
I feel so bad for those cops.
They're struggling.
I feel so embarrassed by these officers.
Keep coming around, Ange. Keep coming around.
Ange, get him.
Unbelievable. We're watching this live. And you have to understand that these officers, they don't know what the information that we know. But again,
you gotta understand, they don't understand object permanence. They think this man has disappeared from this realm of existence.
They think he's playing peekaboo with him.
Wow. Wow.
What did that guy even do?
This is unbelievable. There we go.
The part where they're standing at the fence, pointing into the yard, and the guy is like 6 feet to their right, is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
Literal NPCs. They are non-player characters.
They've got the little eyebrows. They're very cute.
Yeah. if this video has proved anything to me, it's that police officers have the same pathing as characters in The Sims.
Yeah, these are Oblivion NPCs. These aren't Skyrim NPCs. They're that bad.
Yeah, they're like when you go into sneak mode in Elden Ring, mm-hmm. and they're just like, huh?
Oh, shit, you play in Elden Ring?
Oh, yeah.
How
Elden
far
Ring
are you?
Elden Ring is great.
Well,
Chris is a little farther than me.
Like a way to gauge how far? I don't know.
We're like 15 hours each, I think.
Holy fuck.
Maybe 20, 30. I don't know exactly.
I saw something very funny. So somebody sent this to me.
Three.
Because I don't particularly frequent this particular subreddit, but I'm going to send it to you in the chat.
Okay.
Oh, wait, is it the sounding thing?
Yeah, it's a post.
Yeah, I saw that
the
one.
Sounding subreddit.
Oh,
the title of the post is "Been sitting with the 10 millimeter in for about an hour playing Elden Ring. Highly recommend."
Wow.
That is a big. That's bigger than when I picture 10 millimeters. I'm like, oh, wow, that's a lot to put in there.
Here's the thing about sounding is like, if you don't know what it is, don't look it up. Because when I found out what it was,
you don't want to know.
I was at an after work, like bar thing, like all the employees go out to the bar together and someone brought it up and they explained it to me. And then I had nightmares.
Like you're about like, it happening to
you're
you
at the doctor.
No.
Like,
I mean,
I don't know what happened.
It was always somewhere on the periphery. Like a normal scary nightmare would be happening, and in the back of my mind, you know how like two things will be related in a dream, even when it makes no fucking sense, and you just know. Mm-hmm. In the back of my mind, my brain was like, "This is about sounding." Just so you know.
Yeah, I found out about that in like high school.
Mm-hmm. I think same here.
I don't know how.
Maybe like a Darwin Award. I think there was some like honorable mention Darwin Award where a guy had a thing up his pee hole.
I think the first time I saw or heard about it, it was probably like a 4chan green text screenshot where some guy was bragging about how good he was at sounding, and then people were just horrified in the replies.
So wait, when soldiers do the marching song and they're like, sound off, this is what they're talking about? This is what they're all
you're
doing?
Supposed to pull it out.
Yeah,
sound off.
And then you hear a bunch of tinkling as it hits the ground.
Oh, fuck it, sound off.
And then they all stop and bend down and pick it back up.
I thought this post would be much more graphic. What do you think what do you think this little tissue underneath the PS5 controller is for?
I don't want to know.
For any flotsam and jetsam that might occur in the sound.
Yeah,
flotsam and jetsam.
Situation.
I'm gonna go ahead and say like
I'm gonna be sick.
That's one of those things where like if that's a part of your life, you automatically have to consult medical professionals a lot more often.
Yeah,
true. Yeah.
So you even need a lot of knowledge about that part of your anatomy.
Yeah. So even just from like a practical standpoint, it's so insane.
I don't know how it got there. I just fell. On it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And then
like
I got
fucking,
hard. I don't know.
It was like the first or second episode of Scrubs. They did that gag where you just saw x-ray after x-ray of stuff up a person's ass, and they're all like, I fell.
Yeah.
I fell.
Yeah. That's how when you read Choke by Chuck Palahniuk.
Oh god. We talked about that a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, that book.
The one where
maybe
the
not
kid
Choke
gets his
specifically
guts sucked out by a
oh,
pool.
Oh, that's in Haunted.
Oh, that different one?
Yeah, Choke is where somebody works in a ER and they're just like you wouldn't have any idea how many people come in with shampoo bottles and wine bottles stuff up their ass and are like, I fell down. It went up there.
Yeah.
I was in the shower and whoops.
That Hot Wheels car just did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could really do like a BuzzFeed quiz like, is this something Gigi Allen did on stage, or is it a premise from a Chuck Palahniuk book?
The Venn diagram.
Yeah, trick question. It was actually something that Steve-O did in Jackass 2.5.
You guys see the new Jackass yet?
Oh yeah,
we saw it.
Wait.
It came out.
What if the Jackass movies were numbered like the internet's, right? So it's Jackass, Jackass 2.0, Jackass 2.5, X Jackass,
Jack 3.
Yeah, and then
like
Jack
Web 3, Jack 3.
Yeah, now we're on. We're
no,
on,
and then
we're on
the Jackass of Things.
The Jack of Asses.
Or what if it was like Final Fantasy?
Jackass
X2. X2.
Yeah. I hope they don't make Jackass that many jackasses. They're going to run out of guys who are willing to destroy their bodies.
I disagree. I think this is America just waiting for the chance to, you know, jump on a cactus.
Yeah, this is America. True. I mean, like, we're literally everybody. America, the country, is a giant coliseum where everybody is desperate for a chance to destroy their bodies for like $12 an hour
for bread and circuses. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I like the new characters. Did you see it, Todd?
I did not. We were going to go see it. And then we were like, wait a second. We kind of wanted to see Batman instead.
Yeah, well, wait a minute.
Hey, had to go see the family friendly film. You understand? We forgot IDs.
Well, I wanted to see Catwoman drink milk out of a bowl.
Which happens,
does
right?
Does she do that?
It in the deleted scenes, which we didn't see.
Oh,
so apparently, there's pictures that have been released, but we're talking. This is like release the Snyder Cut level shit right here.
Right. So wait, but I mean, like, it could be after the credits, right? Like, did you stay 20, 30 minutes after the credits?
No, the after the credits scene sucks. It's not even a thing. It's like a logo flashes on screen for like a second. It's not a scene.
The Riddler, the movie.
Bullshit.
Yeah. You know what's a cool thing that I've been seeing some films doing recently, though? They don't bother with the after the credits scene. They start rolling credits and then they just give you the after credits scene right away and then they show you the rest of the credits.
Oh, some movies do like three scenes where it's like a mid credit scene, a late credit scene, and then an actual after credit scene.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the middle range Marvel movies had to do that because they're like, okay, trailer for this movie, trailer for this movie, trailer for this movie.
What happened to just running 7 straight minutes of bloopers? You know, what happened to seeing what happened to seeing Mike Myers break character 19 times in a row at the end of a film?
See, I want to, like, after credit scenes are becoming like when you're like blackout drunk and you're puking and you think that's it. You think you're done.
Right.
And then you're like,
you're wasted in the theater.
You're wiping your face off and you're like, oh, no, there's more. There's more.
And then your friend asks you, like, are you good, bro? Do you want to hit this joint? And you're like, oh, that might actually mellow me out. Huge mistake.
Huge mistake. No, don't do it. Don't hit the joint. Don't do it. You never hit the joint. Bad move.
I can't tell you how many times a joint has been the thing that like just took me. Like it's never just weed. Like weed won't make me throw up. But if I'm drunk, weed will make me throw up so fast.
Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. That's a good thing to
know. You know, I haven't thrown up from being drunk since COVID.
I don't know the last time I've puked from being drunk. It's probably
have you been drinking like less, or have you just been more consistently spreading your drinking out so that it evenly fills each day?
we have to do a scientific analysis on this because I haven't been drinking less. If anything, I've been drinking more. But I think what I've been doing is I've been drinking more but moving less. So maybe it's the moving around, sloshing.
Oh, it sloshes it. Yeah.
If you just drink more but you're sedentary, it kind of just. It goes into like sedimentary layers in your stomach. Like this is tequila. Like
the sand.
There's a couple Coors Lights. There's one of these Monaco hooch drinks that I.
That's alcohol. I thought you were drinking like an energy drink.
No, it's terrible. It's like it's really bad.
They're really fucking strong too.
Weird bullshit.
I feel like I haven't thrown up from alcohol in like 5 years. I just don't really drink that much.
Yeah, we barely had more than like 3 drinks in the past couple years.
I had this past weekend. I had like three glasses of wine and I was like pretty drunk and I like walking to the train and I passed a 7-Eleven. I was like, it's hot dog time.
Oh yeah.
Absolute baller.
When you've had just the right amount of ethanol alcohol passing through your fucking blood that you're like, yeah, something that's been on a hot roller for a day and a half. Is Hell really yeah. gonna hit the spot.
So that's
ketchup and mustard doesn't even really work that way.
No, and like if you want onions, fuck you. They come in a sweet, slimy little packet.
this is truly a beep beep classic because Bryn is on, and also we're talking about roller hot dogs.
That's right.
Yeah. and how weed can make you throw up.
It's been a steady through line throughout this podcast.
Yeah.
Few people know that you can throw up from weed if you smoke enough of it, but we all know this.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows the hosts of this show are thinking about hot dogs all the time. I mean, when I want to go out for a nice roller dog,
those beans, usually.
I tell my wife, I'm going to the roller rink, which is what I call the speedway.
Dude, this new place came opened up in my neighborhood. It's called Ugly Donuts, and it's it's like corn dogs in like donut dough, and it's fucked up. It's so amazing. Good.
Why hasn't that been? Wasn't that invented like way longer ago?
I don't know, but I had to. I have to stop myself from eating it every day.
I mean, it's like crazy that more things that are just made with various types of dough aren't more commonly made with like fried pastry dough. You know, because isn't that all a donut is?
Yeah,
fried pastry dough.
It's just like slightly sugary corn dogs, and it's amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone should make like elephant ear calzones or something. That'd be incredible.
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah, like a fucking donut corn dog, sliced open, powdered sugar, cherry pie filling down the middle.
Ooh,
oh man!
Oh god! You can get them with cheese too, like mozzarella, stick cheese, hot corn dog. It's fucking great. Next,
I thought you meant
Brooklyn,
corn. I thought you meant like cheese on it, not cheese in it.
It's in there.
It's like a mozzarella stick corn dog, right? Like it's just cheese inside the corn dough.
It's crazy.
Do you think they do a pickle one for me? They fry a pickle like that for me?
I bet.
Yeah,
100%.
It's like a Chinese place or something. So probably.
I think it's Korean.
Okay, Korean. Yeah.
So, Bryn, you haven't been on Beep Beep in a while, and I know the listeners are dying to know. There's some really fucked up shit going on in the world. Like
I know.
These are strange times we're living in. You have to start every email with "hope you're well" because the odds are they are well because you're emailing them.
And they can receive emails.
But you want them to know that you hope that they're well. So we're living in weird times. The listeners are dying to know, what is your take on the crisis, like what's going on?
The crisis
in
of the
New
Nets
York Times with
losing
Wordle.
James Harden. What?
Yeah, what's your take on Wordle?
Nets losing James Harden was fine. The Nets blew out the 76ers at home last night. It was beautiful.
It was fantastic. Yeah, Wordle. Wordle is not changed for me, but I am enjoying playing the Wordle every day. But I'm assuming we're going to talk about the actual Ukraine, the stuff.
What's going on in Ukraine?
I don't know. I see it in the doc here. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Well, I just had a couple of things because there was a two-pronged attack from the social media companies that took place over the last couple of days.
Oh,
where
yeah.
pretty close to simultaneously, Twitter started censoring and like temporarily banning accounts reflexively. Like they just set up a bot to do it. They're not like there's awesome. Not a guy like. You found a fascist, banned. But they are allowing the bots to do it. And then at the same time, Facebook is opening the censors on their website so that you can call for violence against Russians.
And this is actually great. Okay, so you know how like, okay, so if you want to be racist, sexist, whatever, you just post what you would post about the marginalized group that you want to post about. But you call them Russians instead.
That's right.
You're like, oh, fucking, yeah, right. I fucking hate when these fucking
Russian women extinction button.
Yeah. I hate when these Russians don't get my order right at the restaurant. I hate, you know, replace everything with Russian.
I'm going out and doing Uber drivers.
Yeah.
Doing the whole Raw bit, but with Russians thrown in. Russians drive like this.
Yeah. Did you guys
Russians
see that
shopping like
that post recently? That was like some leftist was like, "I'm a full service sex worker and I don't service Indians."
No.
Ask me why.
Now that was a hate crime. But if she had instead said Russians, she would be doing praxis.
It'd be allowed.
Yeah. Yes.
Chris Rock breaking down the different types of Russians that there are. Allowed now.
I mean, you know, this is just going to generate some of the weirdest fucking takes. Like, even besides, like, yes, there's going to be a huge outpouring of like weird anti-Russian hate, and Americans are going to have to like get used to doing what their grandfathers did for
Everyone
a little
watching
while.
Rocky III and like cheering.
I don't know what you're talking about. My grandfather actually served in the Russian army, so
that's right. Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, he got liberated from a concentration camp. He was a Polak. So he got liberated and he just drove a fuel truck.
And he was in the Red Army?
For the Red Army liberated the concentration camp.
Yeah, right.
So they were like, "Hey, you're able-bodied. We'll put you to work."
Yeah.
Yeah, drive this truck. And he's like, sure beats being in a fucking concentration camp.
Then he came to the United States and they did the sock hop or whatever the fuck they did in the 1950s. I don't fucking know.
Which is either a innocent dance or some sort of fisting maneuver.
A maneuver.
She you put the shock on your hand. She, and you lube it up.
Love Jimmy maneuvers.
Stewart, and this is a shock hop.
It's just, it's crazy to me that like these social media companies are like, yeah, just fucking open the floodgates on calling for violence against Russians. And then like, if people point out like the incredibly suspect amount of fascists in the Ukrainian forces, just straight up fucking reflexively ban them. And this is all during a time when like, so many fucking liberals are throwing the Ukrainian flag in their handle and being like, first they came for the Ukrainians. And I said something because I read a book.
I think what's interesting about this whole panic over World War III or whatever is that nobody in power is saying that we should do anything. Like, very, very few actual politicians are saying, oh yeah, we should have a no-fly zone. You know, we should go to war with a nuclear power. Like, it's only the media and, like, you know, pundits who are just like, we gotta shut, you know, we gotta assassinate Putin and do regime change. And I find it very interesting because who's telling all of these people to do that? Like, who is
They definitely got the messaging from somewhere, right?
Tucker
Carlson has been like staunchly pro-Russia anti-war, which is like the weirdest, most confusing thing about this.
He loves to do that
because the like nativist Republicans
we should go to war with China.
Well, that's an interesting thing.
He zigs when everyone else zags, but he zigs somewhere far worse.
Because Russia has been making inroads with China. Like when they got kicked out of the SWIFT financial system, China was like, "That's cool. Join up with us." So, you know, the wheel of global hegemony is turning.
I think it seems to me that we're entering this state where war is being fomented by the clandestine state only. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like just this invisible hand of, you know, fostering war with another country. But like, no one in power is like on that side, and Joe Biden is straight up not gonna do it.
That's the thing. I think you're exactly right. Like, there's this tension between the U.S. state definitely wants to drum up like a lot of anti-Russia support because they want to be able to impose these sanctions and fight this massive economic war that's going to result in all kinds of austerity, and they want us to all be like, austerity's fine if it saves the Ukrainian baby. I love I love paying $1 million for a car. And then the other thing that's happening though is like, Americans are so fucking war ready that if three pundits are like, establish a no-fly zone, we're like, bring out the anti-aircraft artillery now. I'll drive it into the Donbass myself. And that's an interesting tension, because every time the American public is like, let's go to war, the government gets all pale-faced and they're like, I really don't think we could do that.
That is a bad idea right now, actually. Well,
do you think that maybe the American people are so war-hungry because things have gotten so bad, and that we're nostalgic for, I don't know, weird time to be nostalgic for, but the early 2000s where financially, like, things were, you know, leading up to the 2008 crash. I mean, like, things were pretty good for a large number of Americans. Do you think Americans want to do a fucking world war because they think it'll be like the 2000s or the 1950s, or like, is it an economic thing, or what do you guys think it is?
I think Americans just want Maroon 5 to be popular again.
And Tool.
Hell yeah.
They're planning for the days of Batman Begins instead of whatever the new Batman is called. Like, I think Christian Bale is just the best Batman. We should go back to that. Also, we should invade another sovereign country. I think the two are inextricably linked.
I feel like, I don't know. I've seen like some, I don't really trust polls, you know? Like,
not at all.
It does, because what, But I saw people were talking about a poll that it was like, do you want a no-fly zone in Russia? And they're like, yeah, of course. And then, like, do you want to go to war with Russia? And, like, 90% was like, no.
Yeah, because they don't understand.
Because they're morons.
The framing is dishonest. The framing of the poll is dishonest.
I listened to, like, 45 hours of podcasts this week at work. And something that I heard, like, nine different podcasts all say basically in unison is Americans think a no-fly zone is where you put up a big no parking sign in an airspace.
Yeah, like, and you give tickets out.
Yeah. Like, there were calls for America and Poland to supply fighter jets to the Ukraine. Like, I don't know if anybody understands, but providing direct military hardware, even if you're not providing the pilots to fly the fighter jets, is an act of war. And each little incremental thing is an escalation towards a full-out shooting war between, I don't know, NATO and the kind of Western alliance that's opposed to Russian. You could call it expansion. You could also call it retaliation. But it's an inflammation of that. What interests me and what came out like this past kind of couple days is at the beginning of this, there were rumors coming from like the most tinfoil hat conspiracy minded people that there were a bunch of bio labs in Ukraine.
Oh yeah.
But that has actually been fucking admitted by members of Congress and members of in front of the UN, like the American, like actual members of the Biden cabinet are like, yeah, there's bio labs in Ukraine and we were doing some fucked up shit. Like, okay, you don't have to necessarily buy into the idea that like COVID was created in a lab by the CIA or the shadowy like forces behind the US government. Like, that was something we thought could have been a possibility in the early days of COVID. I still think it's a possibility. We'll probably never know because
we're small folk,
we're proletarians, whatever. But if you read between the lines, like if you're Putin and the Western world is creating biological pathogens on your front doorstep, all right, what world does it not make sense to be like, hey, fucking stop that shit?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about, as far as the COVID angle goes, I've said this before, I'll say it again now, I don't think COVID was made in a lab. I think it evolved just like a regular virus. But if it was made in a lab, 100% chance the United States government, some portion of it, is responsible for that. The other thing is just like, yeah, the reporting on these labs is insane because every single headline, every single tweet from a blue check is like, what if Russia gets a hold of the bioweapons labs in Ukraine? And nobody is like, why are there bioweapons labs in US making?
What if they get a hold of the weapons we were going to use on them?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think COVID would have been a stupid idea to make. If it was made in a lab, it wasn't released on purpose, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, maybe they made it, I don't know, who gives a shit. But like, there's a lot fucking worse chemical weapons. Like, there's a lot worse bioweapons that they could be making that are much more, like, first of all, much more deadly and controllable.
Yes.
And you know, than COVID, which is, you know, functionally a bad disease but not that bad as a chemical weapon. So they're probably making
it's
way
no sarin
worse
gas.
Exactly.
I didn't bring it up to touch on COVID. I mostly brought it up because like if you're Putin and the Western powers are building labs where they could be creating biological pathogens to use against the Russian people, Chinese people, whoever, right? Like, they're on your doorstep. NATO is expanding into like the place where they're not supposed to be, and they're just like thumbing their nose at you, you know, a couple fucking blocks away.
Well,
you know,
only,
it's psychotic.
You know, I think from a Russian leader's standpoint, like, obviously this is like a reasonable move to be like, try it, bitch. Like, I didn't think he would do it.
Right.
Like, I don't think anybody thought he'd have the balls to be like, go to war with me, fuck you. But it's complete, like, over the last 30 years, America has destroyed the country, and then America took the country and then separated it. So the only reason Ukraine isn't a part of Russia is because we said so. So the idea that we're like, oh, it's some sort of tragedy that Russia wants to like return to the Soviet borders. It's like, well, why not? I literally don't get the understanding. I don't get the argument that you should never go to the Soviet borders.
Well, yeah, you're never going to get like a basic lib to get that, you know?
Yeah, but it's like that's the history of that region, is that we went in there and then like cooed the fucking place and then put a bunch of NATO freaks and armed the borders of Russia and be like, yeah, we own this. And then put in like Boris, Putin was like Boris Yeltsin's boy. So it's like, it's just, this is entirely our fault. Like, there's no part of this that isn't something that America didn't do.
No, yeah, it's not just all that, too.
Why aren't they under our control?
Yeah, well, it's not just that, too. It's like, we fucking staffed NATO and all of these other major organizations, the IMF, with Nazis after the war was over. Well, and we were like, we have to rally people to fight against these communists. Who is willing to fight the communists? And all the fascists were like, me. Most. Yeah.
we're going to do Operation.
Coach. I would love to go in and fight the communists. Put me in, coach.
That was the only thing you had to do.
Operation Paperclip with, you know how they closed all the McDonald's in Russia?
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham is going to send like SEAL Team 6 to assassinate Putin. And then they're going to do Operation Paperclip, where every Nazi in the Azov battalion gets to manage a McDonald's.
I mean, I wish you were joking.
That's true.
That's true. No, I mean, here's the interesting thing about this conflict, though, is I feel like American influence is really like not great. You know what I mean? Like, it's not in good shape. I mean, it's always a bad thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like, it's not doing well.
It's not,
American influence is looking a little pale. And, like, it's what's so interesting about all this is, like, before we would have just done, a series of coups. Like, we would have just cooed Lukashenko. We would have spent Zelensky fighting the Russians and then cooed him, you know? And just, it would have just been, like, this long series of shit. But we can't do that anymore. Like, as soon as we started having, like, you know, natural resources, energy problems because of this conflict, we turned around and made nice with Venezuela and then published a bunch of articles
ditching communism? Okay.
And it's
so,
like, no, they're not ditching communism, you fucking idiot. They just know that they have us by the balls right now.
Juan
because it's
Guaido
slightly
BDF
less odious to do business with them than Russia.
Yeah, I would hate to be Juan Guaido right now. Also, I think last episode or maybe the episode before, we were like, is Gorbachev still alive? Turns out he is.
Yeah,
I wonder what he's thinking right now. But I'm really glad you brought up Venezuela, John.
He just did that. Werner Herzog just did that documentary about him.
How old is he? Like 95 or something?
He's pretty old as fuck.
You're telling me there's a Herzog Gorbachev documentary?
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that. Yeah.
91.
That
sounds great.
It's just Werner Herzog playing Gorbachev. They've like spray painted red onto his forehead for that like wine spot. And he's just shoveling Pizza Hut into his mouth. But Brynn, I'm very glad you're on this episode because I wanted to share my theory about Venezuela. Okay, so I have connected some dots. I shared it with Chris and John in the chat a couple days ago. But okay, so in 2016, it starts with the first dot I want to connect. 2016, like in the wake of the passing of Chavez and with Maduro in power and crippling sanctions. Venezuela is struggling, starting their, you know, this like descent into the kind of shit they've been dealing with that's been exacerbated by sanctions from the West. Venezuela has Citgo, right? The oil company Citgo is owned, was owned by Venezuela. They took out a loan from a Russian oil firm called Rosneft for $1.5 billion in exchange for 49.9% control of Citgo. So just under majority control of Citgo, right? And Citgo is like, it's headquartered in America. It's like run in America, but it at this point it was owned by Venezuela. All right. So and part of the reason that they took out this loan is they wanted to ease the pain of debt that they owed to both Russia and China. And then in 2019, the Trump administration sanctioned Venezuela further. Right. This is around the time where with the Guaido thing and like, you know, they're going for Maduro's throat, basically. Sure. And they sanctioned Venezuela.
People were crying out for freedom.
Basically, they cut off the Venezuelan government. They wanted to put a fucking chokehold on Venezuela and try to do regime change. So they cut off the Maduro government from the revenue from Citgo. So Citgo gas, right, no longer has to pay any money to the Maduro government, right? Mm-hmm. So put the squeeze on the Maduro government further, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in January of this year, okay, the Biden administration moved to prevent Citgo's creditors, right, Russia and China, from collecting on the debts owed. So that Rosneft oil company, right, they can't collect for another year.
By what mechanism? Like a sanction?
That loan. I think it was some sort of executive action or something, but Biden administration did that 2 months ago, right? Now, the other day, I believe it was Tuesday of this week, right?
Okay.
Venezuela, after a Biden like delegation of representatives, went down to negotiate with Maduro, and Venezuela released a corrupt, I believe, American oil exec from Citgo that they had held in prison for a long time for corruption. So, which leads me to believe that, and follow my kind of thoughts here, right? I think that the Biden administration is looking to Venezuela because they got shut down by Saudi Arabia. Russia, they cut off Russian oil. They're going to Venezuela and they're saying, hey, blow off your Russian and Chinese creditors and we will undo those 2019 Trump sanctions. Maduro, you can have Citgo back on the condition that the oil can flow freely from Venezuela to the States. And I think that is what's happening. And I think that, you know, that's the goal here. Like, the oil is the goal.
Of course.
I think that the result will also be that they're going to kind of pull the same kind of shit on Venezuela that they've pulled on other socialist governments when the economic floodgates open.
Yeah, well, I think you're, if your theory is true, which I think is a very compelling theory, but I don't know that I necessarily believe it, but if it is true, it would make a lot of sense within the grander scheme of how the Biden administration has been reacting to this kind of emerging multipolarity of the world that's been kind of catalyzed by this Ukraine situation. And what they've been doing, if you notice, is they've been moving for the extradition of a lot of people from Latin America. The ex-president of Honduras, who did a bunch of drug crimes for us.
Yeah.
A bunch of people in Colombia who did a bunch of drug crimes for the DEA and CIA. And, of course, the person that you were talking about. And then there's also this thing where, like, Biden just held a big conference to let Colombia know he considers them an essential non-NATO ally.
Yeah.
And,
So he's got to be doing something to keep him, like, lively for the debate. So I think that's the cocaine connection, right?
Well, yeah, sure. But, I mean, that's the thing is, like, there's this bit. As soon as this Ukraine thing happened, it was like a switch was flipped. And there was some kind of contingency plan the United States government had for a while. And they immediately started realigning all of their priorities to South and Central America, because that's our hemisphere, and they think, probably correctly, that, you know, Eastern powers would be a lot less interested in trying to get in the way of our imperial ambitions if we kept them more to our own hemisphere and just intensified them a lot here. I'm not saying the U.S. is going to give up on doing imperialism in the rest of the world. That's absolutely not true. I'm just saying that they're going to, like, shift their focus significantly.
So what you're saying indicates to me that maybe, let me know if you agree here, but that Europe's influence on global politics is waning severely in the wake of this Ukraine-Russia thing.
Oh, yeah. Hugely. I mean, like, with all of the internal tensions, I mean, Brexit and all of the, like, you know, weird contingent relationships that countries like Turkey have with the EU and NATO and stuff, it's just not a coherent enough political power to operate unilaterally the way the United States does. And the United States power is waning so rapidly that, like, it functions as, like, the keystone or the linchpin for Europe's power as, like, a coherent, like, global player. And, like, China and Russia know this. They're like, if we build our own economic side of the world and just start, you know, through the Belt and Road Initiative, we can incorporate a lot of countries that will be very happy to have us, as long as we're not hyper exploitative. Like, they probably won't be too exploitative, but they literally could come in and do regular exploitation, and those countries would be like, thank you for not being like the Americans.
you're saying Europe has always just been like a scrawny ass white boy in the hood, but he's got a pit bull in his backyard chained up that you don't want to fuck with, and that pit bull's name is the United Motherfucking States of the USA.
Basically, yeah.
So wait, you're saying that what is going to happen to Citgo, that the U.S. is going to pay off their debt to China?
I think that if this split between the West, right, mm-hmm. like kind of NATO and like economically, if there's this split between Western powers and, you know, China, Russia, Iran, possibly India, if they end up like continuing to kind of just not give a fuck about Western powers guilting them into taking their side. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it's possible that they just might, the U.S. might somehow be just like, yeah, just blow off your debt to those countries. We'll protect you. I don't know. I don't know enough about global politics to know if they can do that.
I mean, here's the thing.
But I know that at this point, they've given up on Juan Guaido and that way of getting into Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And they're instead going to try and make nice with Maduro in this way.
Here's the thing is, like, if Maduro were to take a deal like that, he would either have to be extremely stupid or playing both sides so he always comes out on top.
I think that's really what South mm-hmm. America right now is doing, because Evo and Maduro and Pedro, that's his mm-hmm. name, right? The new
Pedro Castillo,
the Peruvian guy.
Yeah.
Pedro.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They're like, they're in group chats. Like, they're DMing each other.
WhatsApp.
Yeah. Well, like, and you know what's funny?
No fucking kidding. Like, they're retweeting each other and shit. Hell like, yeah. that, like, those, like, connected countries, I really think that we're not getting any reporting on them, but, like, there's going to be a red, or the pink wave, I think, is finally happening, and mm-hmm. I think America is behaving like they have to respect it, because they know that if they don't make some sort of situation where they come out on top, China is going to be all over that shit.
They're
going to
be surrounded on all fronts. America.
Dangism wins again.
Well, and yeah, that's the thing. China's going to have so much influence in so many places that the United States is like, trade routes from South America to North America don't fly over any other place. You know, they fly over Central America and the Caribbean. And they're like, that's way more manageable than trying to do business in places where China is showing up and offering a better deal, because they just have the capability to offer a better deal. Well, and it's so interesting because, like, the South American leaders, it's not just the ones who are actually really kind of socialist. Like, we just got Gabriel Boric in mm-hmm. Chile, and he's kind of like a social democrat who's a little anti-communist. He's like Bernie bro-y. Like, he has a lot of criticisms of Venezuela, but, like, he won over a guy whose granddad was an out and out, like, a member of the Nazi party. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. you know,
well, here's a question. When's Brazil's election? Cause is Lula going to get another shot? Are they going to get rid of Bolsonaro? Ooh. Cause
I think he's running, right? Lula?
I remember seeing polling that had Lula squarely defeating Bolsonaro. Now that, you know,
it's in October. It's this year.
Ooh. Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, that, October, well, surprise. You know, watch that fucking election, because that's going to be really goddamn important.
That's going to be
really
important.
This is my Harry Potter. Things that actually happen in the world.
Hell yeah. Me
that's
too.
Right. That's right. That's
wait, why? Speaking of, you know, media properties, why did Boric get a Squirtle?
Because he's Squirtle Squad. Because it's probably the best starter.
The new president of Chile received a Squirtle as his administration starter Pokemon. This is real?
Yeah, it was like some kind of like delegation from Japan gave him a little stuffed Squirtle,
oh,
I guess.
Cute.
As, wow. Like, yeah, I don't know. It said, President-elect Gabriel Boric Font has welcomed guests as he gets settled into his new role ahead of his inauguration, including the Minister of State for Foreign Affairs of Japan, Kiyoshi Odawara. He brought President-elect Boric a unique gift, a plush Squirtle, when the two met in the Santiago.
It says that he has Boric, the 36-year-old Boric, has previously shared that he's a fan of anime.
Oh, yeah.
And the water-type Pokemon was his starter of choice, and he played the original games. So they know that he was a Pokemon fan.
Yeah, we got him.
I
was going to say because president right here. He's also a Taylor Swift fan, right? He's a known Swiftie.
because like if you rank starters, right? Like the fire type is always the alpha. The water type is the beta, and then the grass type is the sigma.
If they didn't
know what his preferred starter was, and they were just like, let's give this guy a Squirtle. That's an insult, but. Right. Yeah, because but if they knew, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, if he said it, that just makes it a thoughtful gift. They're like, I noticed your tweet. Love you.
I noticed your tweet, so I bought this Squirtle off your Amazon wish list. Konnichiwa.
But if they didn't know, then that's also kind of, he was a Squirtle guy, then it's also kind of a compliment because they were just like looking at him. They're like, this guy's got Squirtle Squad energy.
He's cool. He doesn't quite play by the rules. He doesn't like the easy way out of just picking grass and steamrolling the first three gyms. He wants to take down Brock with water. Yeah. Then he wants a little challenge of like the mirror matchup against Misty because she's also water. Lieutenant Surge, that's a tough one, mm-hmm. even if you got it up to Wartortle.
I don't know who these people are you're talking about because I only play Pokemon games of the latest generation.
Well, can we like, also... That's a terrible 7,000
Pokemon.
Yeah, just grinding my brain into dust by only playing the latest Pokemon releases, just completely harming myself every single day.
I think Scarlet and Violet look cool.
The new one, what's the one where you like where it's like a whole different format?
Arceus.
Legend Arceus.
That one
Pokemon
looks really good.
Russia and Pokemon cool. Ukraine.
Yeah.
I want to try that one. No,
that's blue
I
want to
talk about this photo though because it's not just Gabriel Boric receiving the Squirtle and being psyched about it. In his like, you know, N9 regular old boring 3M N95 mask, but this guy from the Japanese delegation is so swagged out. He's got a mask that has a little Japanese flag in the corner of it.
Oh, yeah. Baller.
So you know he's the Japanese delegation guy.
Wait, is it just red? Is it just a red circle?
Well, it's a flag. It's the whole flag. So it's
I'm not.
White.
I don't have the picture in front of me. If it's just a white mask with a red circle somewhere on it, you know, maybe he cut himself shaving. I don't know.
No, it's like that's the thing is it's like a red or kind of orangish mask, and then he's got the whole flag like right Sick. Next to his nose.
Oh my god.
Is that like in
Is that
Spanish?
The Spanish version theme?
Yes! they're playing it in the room.
That's awesome.
That rules. That's
I also
okay.
Love
that's
that the plushie comes out of a Pokeball. You like unzip it and then it pops out. So he didn't know it was a Squirtle. It was like a little reveal in the moment.
He's like, awesome. Squirtle.
The Japanese Prime Minister was his Professor Oak. This is just what happens when you let millennials become heads of state.
Absolutely.
They're gonna do it really whether is. You like it or not.
Yeah, Mayor Pete is gonna do this when he's president in 8 years.
Yeah, but here's the thing that makes this so great, you know, is like one, it's not like cheesy and BuzzFeedified like it would be if it were like specifically tailored to our generation.
No,
but two, it's also not like some fucking boomer politician in America being like, I support gun rights and then running up the rocky stairs, you know?
Right. This would suck a lot more if it was America. What is America's coolest property? Marvel, I guess, right?
Marvel, yeah.
No.
Which is just an indication of how fucking cringe we are.
Transformers.
America's coolest property, I would say Rocco's Modern Life.
Okay, yeah, Nicktoons.
Joe Biden traveling to Venezuela and giving Nicolas Maduro a Funko Pop of Captain America.
Yeah, he would do that shit.
Look, he's Captain Chile. I slapped a flag on him.
It says a Chilean flag hat like, taped over shittily.
Playing like a Spanish, like a bachata version of the X-Men theme song.
So you mentioned Mayor Pete. I think last episode we talked about how he was just like, hey, if you're a working class American, you can't afford to get to work because gas is so expensive, just buy an electric car.
Heels
of that very astute statement from Mayor Pete, California is apparently now asking residents to avoid charging electric cars amid power grid strain.
Yeah, I got roasted on Twitter like last month because I was like, isn't electric cars still kind of running on coal and gas?
That's correct. Because, like, that is absolutely correct.
To, like, still be burning more, making more electricity. So, like, that doesn't really help us, does it? And, like, everyone was like,
that's
well,
right.
It kind of does. And it's like, it's a little but kind of not really.
No, you're, you are right. And those people attempting to dunk on you on Twitter are just looking for a cheap dunk. Because the American regime refuses to fully embrace nuclear power. All right?
Which is what we've got to do.
Yes.
Well, and it's when they say shit like that, they're always saying like, yeah, you lose a lot of, efficiency and turning it into the electricity and then transporting the electricity and all of that shit is wasteful. But eventually when we have all solar and wind, which is totally happening sometime soon, all of this shit will be justified and we'll already have the stuff in place, which is kind of like saying, yeah, I know there's a lot of limitations on my extremely, specific liberal social justice project, but eventually when there's socialism, this shit will all work. And it's like, why don't you just aim for that shit first?
Yeah.
And then do all the details
I
later.
I think both of you're just talking about a dream you had. Honestly. None of that is happening.
Right.
Yeah.
We're talking about actually making, people not die soon. So
no, but yeah, no, you were right about that. Like the American power grid is not set up for electric cars. And politicians that are telling you, oh, if gas is too expensive, just buy an electric car. what they're telling you is unsustainable because the power grid is not set up. So if everybody was to buy a fucking electric car, the power grid would be overstressed.
It sounds like it would crash.
We're still highly reliant on fossil fuels to make electricity. It's just burning fossil fuels with extra steps. The other thing, and this is my own personal crusade, because I have looked into converting my car to electric. The efficiency is not there. All right. Teslas are getting to a point where they're efficient, fairly efficient, right? But they're insanely expensive and they're poorly built.
And you have to be cooling lithium-rich countries to, like, keep that at scale, right? Like,
absolutely.
They can't make those for the entire U.S.
That's right. The battery technology isn't there. And then there's tons of cars out there.
Well,
right?
They can barely make them for the guys who buy them. Doesn't Tesla keep running out of cars all the time?
They don't sell that many cars, no.
But even if you just, like, took your old car and you bought a motor, and if you were handy, you did it yourself, or you, like, had the money to hire a shop, you spend like 10, 15 grand to convert your beloved car into an EV, the range would be like 70 miles after, and you would still have to load the trunk, the front trunk, and the back seat with batteries. And you would still only get like 70 to 100 miles of range.
Damn.
Yeah, here's my solution.
And this is what politicians are telling you is the solution to not just gas prices going up, but wheat, but food prices, everything across the board. They're not offering you any actual real solutions. They're just making shit worse until you die.
When are they going to make a car that
trains?
Trains can run on electricity fine.
Well, and also, like, when are they just going to make a car that me and my friend can pump, like an old-timey train?
You're really into that whole, like,
I think power. Like a bike, we've got to be able to do better than a bicycle, right? There should be a vehicle with a roof that's an effective mode of transportation where all I have to do is eat a big breakfast.
I feel like you could pump up a hill. You
set it up so that it stores energy, right? Like when you go downhill or when you, like, gradually as you're moving on level ground or something.
Like one of those one wheel skateboards.
Well, I mean, that's just a hybrid, right? Like I'm fully aware that, like, there are solutions to certain problems that involve, like, electrifying aspects of a vehicle, but to make it full electric, you're never going to have everybody able to run a full electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. And the solution to that is, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, hybrid technology, right? And I'm probably getting way too in the weeds here. but my whole point behind this is these politicians aren't offering any real solutions. They're like Mayor Pete, Mala Harris, especially when you hear them talk, they don't really understand the problems that working Americans face. They just want like a sound clip. They just want to do like a sound bite that sounds like they're clapping back to some sort of, I don't know, right-wing talking point because they've framed it so that anything that's pro-workers is actually a right-wing talking point because that's the lib MO.
If they actually cared about like getting rid of congestion or making people less reliant on burning fossil fuels in their cars, they would just do what every fucking like dipshit numbtot has already had figured out for 10 years, which is just like more public transportation, better public transportation, and make neighborhoods walkable. It's not rocket science.
and even still with public transportation, and I'm not opposed to that at all. I've always been an advocate for public transportation. There's still going to be a need for personal vehicles.
Sure.
Whether it's for doing long distance shit, whether it's for doing more enterprise level shit where like, say you need to move farm equipment, say you need to,
you need to
it's
have
an
farm
aspect
equipment.
Of the fucking supply chain, right? Like,
yeah.
Like there needs to be solutions there. And it's not just a turnkey, do it all technocrat solution. And the Democrats aren't able to offer anything other than fake, dishonest, like platitudes towards what they are presenting as turnkey, do-it-all, technocratic solutions.
Right. I was meaning to ask you guys: is what are gas prices supposed to be, and what are they now? Like, are
they're $4.20 right now, baby?
They're actually even higher than that. I paid like $4.40 or $4.50.
You live in a broke ass state. That's why.
Okay, fuck you.
A gallon?
Yeah.
$4?
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in LA $4. In the 90s, and that sounds like a lot.
No, it's a lot. I mean, like, huge. To put it in perspective, in the movie I Am Legend with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Uh oh. What happened in I Am Legend?
What happened in I Am Legend? I know what he's going to say, though. As like an end of the world scenario, they made it like 3 or something.
Yeah.
You know, fuck it. Just keep in the fart where we fucking everything went to shit. I'm actually my internet at my where I live is so bad that I'm actually tethering to my phone on my desktop right now. That's
nice.
It's preposterous. It's like I pay $100 a month for internet and they can't fucking get that shit right. Everybody who works at Comcast, fucking run up. All right. I got something for you. It's made of lead. You can't get me on menacing because you don't know what it is that's made of lead. Could be my penis. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, I hope you all die.
Every
fuck
Russian
you, Comcast.
For Comcast, I'm calling for violence against all the Russians. Russians
that,
in the army.
That's right.
There you go.
Comcast
yeah.
That's right.
It's very bad.
With a shotgun.
It's like the internet companies and the health insurance companies are two things that shouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I think we should do everything by any means meant necessary.
That's
make
correct.
That not because, exist.
Because they, you know, I pay over $100 a month for internet, and in I Am Legend, when they depicted the apocalypse, they only depicted it at $75.
Yeah. Thousands of people killed themselves because their internet cost $80 a month, and they were like, I can't afford this. To
$80 a month would be 20% off for me.
So gas prices are insane.
Yeah.
But that's not, that's like a company's thing, right? That's not really anything that the government has much say about, is it?
Well, it is because like the Biden administration was just like, yeah, we're gonna not buy Russian oil now. Nobody's allowed to buy Russian oil. And then they went to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia was like, yeah, I know you've given us millions of dollars, billions of dollars over the years for various things, weapons, contracts, like shit that we use to kill fucking Yemeni citizens and shit like that. To just do genocide, famine, horrific war crimes. But we're not going to sell you oil. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So now Joe Blow, regular USA, you know, working class guy, has to pay $5 a gallon. That's what's happening.
Robinette
Saudi
Blow.
Arabia.
Joe Brandon.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
Joseph Hussein Blow.
Is the coolest country, I think. They have this like this jester villain kind of thing where they're just like, they're charming in a way where they're like, we're going to do 9/11 and that's funny to us.
They did 9/11 and they made memes about it that they posted to Canada. And they're like, hey, Canada, keep talking shit. See if we don't do 9/11 too on the fucking CN but, Tower, whatever bullshit like, you got over there.
To be fair, 9/11 was very funny.
I'm trying to figure out this. There's like this character in movies where he's always like covered in gold and he's just annoying. Mm-hmm. He's just like some asshole who's just like, oh, you need this? Well, I'm going to fuck you over on this deal. And you're just like begrudgingly having to ask them for help every time.
Hey. Cool it with the anti-Semitism.
Yeah. I realized that's where I was going. But no, someone else, something else. But yeah, this whole thing is stupid. I don't understand why America is even this is what's so confusing. I don't really get what America is doing. Like it seems so schizophrenic. They don't seem to have a real clear direction of like, here's how we're going to win.
Yeah. Well,
here's
no, America
gonna, like, come out on top.
Mm-hmm. No. That you're absolutely right. America has no fucking coherent game plan. America has not met up in the locker room and looked at a chalkboard in a very long time. America is just like mechanically replicating the same behaviors we've been using since the Cold War.
Yeah.
And, we just do them because we've been such a big power for so long that they just kind of work. Why would you fuck with what works? Except that like the rest of the world has taken notice of this and they're like, hey, the United States is actually structurally incapable of acting if we do such and such things. Let's do them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what decline looks like. You know, yes. This is what the empire crumbling is going to be. It's just like us being like, hey, 50 years ago, I would have broken your neck. And they're like, 50 years ago, I wasn't alive, bitch. Like,
No, I mean, that's what's going to happen. Like, China and Russia are basically going to do to the U.S. what the U.S. did to Russia in 1991.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. So I think that's cool, actually.
Wait.
Joe Biden is Gorbachev, and then next up we're gonna get Yeltsin, and he's gonna be even more of a shambling corpse.
He's gonna be
Chinese. I just want the cheap vodka. All right.
And then the whole thing is gonna
Chen Weihu as president of America.
Hell yeah!
And then the whole thing is gonna
I would
split
vote for him five times.
Right, and then the whole country eventually splits into a bunch of smaller countries whose borders are basically defined by what's convenient to the ruling powers at the time. So you have like the Texas Federation that's got like Oklahoma in it, maybe all the way over to Georgia or whatever. And then like you have the separatist Ohio Republic and
No. Georgia, just like over in the Georgia over there, is also going to be its own state.
That's right. All Georgias are the same.
But I think
that's right.
I mean, I think this is like ultimately okay. Like I think that people like, I think right now the American populace is full of absolute dullards who are either crying that it's bad, that like, oh no, nuclear war is going to happen. I really don't think, I mean, obviously I didn't think any of this would happen, so I'm not trying to predict anything, but I don't think we're going to go to war with Russia. No. And if we do, whatever, fine, we all die. I'm not really afraid of that.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like you can just continue to predict, yeah, there's no way we're going to fucking have nuclear war. Because if we do have nuclear war, nobody's going to be around to say, I told you so.
Yeah, everyone will be fucking
dead. Who cares if you predicted it? Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen. Whatever, I predict it won't happen.
Yeah.
There you go.
You'll cry at me in death. But
predict that, and then also buy those weird like Patriot food slop tubs that are like 1 year of oatmeal in a giant bucket or whatever. Stash it in the basement. You're set.
It's not worth worrying about.
The interesting thing about calling that nuclear war isn't going to happen is that it's a totally safe thing to call, because if it does happen, nobody's standing around going, "You were wrong." This is a priority for me right now.
That's right. That's right.
So what we have is these very, very stupid sides of like dipshit anarchists who are comparing the Ukrainians to like Rojava or whatever. And
which is,
like,
okay, wait. Before you go any further, that's so weird because there are communist separatist republics, the DPR and the LPR, that are actually like Rojava. And they, like, in this analogy, they teamed up with Syria instead of the United States.
No. Ukraine is nothing. Rojava is nothing like Ukraine because Rojava was never invited to participate in the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you've got these people being like, we need to support this. And then we have these other people who I would say I generally more agree with that you can't stand with your Ukraine and you got to be mad about it. And my whole thing is like, none of this matters. Like, none of your opinion matters. Mm-hmm. Standing with people doesn't do anything. Like, changing your flag to Ukrainian flag or just saying that that's a bad and, you know, being bloodthirsty for war with Russia is bad doesn't really matter because that's not going to happen. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. My main concern in the fallout of all this is that there's probably going to be a lot of people ironically doubling down on Dua Lipa style Albanian nationalism.
Dua Lipa.
Is she Albanian?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know that when she...
I'm not Albanian. I might get into it.
Just like for a fun hobby this summer, you're going to be an Albanian nationalist. Yeah.
she goes over there
to leave.
All right. That has been the episode.
On the note of don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It's not going to affect you, or you're all going to die. But
maybe, I don't know.
Worrying about it doesn't matter.
Either way, you're up past your bedtime.
For listening. Yeah, go to bed. Stop playing Elden Ring. Yeah. Go to sleep.
Don't ever stop playing Elden Ring. Squirtle is beautiful. He's the best starter.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Hail Albania.
Bye.